Amen. Good morning. Man, some encouraging stuff this morning. But we are glad you're here. It's great to see everybody here on Super Bowl Sunday. So, I don't know, are there any Eagles fans here? What's the other team? Any Patriots fans? Oh, a couple. Anybody here just want to see the Patriots lose? The majority. There we go. Yeah, I wore my green today because I want to see the Patriots lose. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm a Redskins fan as well. Redskins, come on. There is a theme today. So we are glad you're here with us, and encouraged by everything already this morning, and even excited to get together and have some great celebrations of maybe not football, maybe football, but just being together, having fun, and whatever you got planned tonight. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles over to Matthew chapter 6. Before we get there, let's go ahead and go to God in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful just for everything so far, God, all the things we're able to rejoice about and praise you about, God. It does fulfill us in so many ways, Father. It completes, I think, the whole idea of it helps us to understand and know you, Father, in greater ways. Father, we can just smile, rejoice, and so often even and enjoy your goodness. Father, I know the world even all of us at different times, Father, can feel distance, or we don't know how to enjoy you, Father. But I'm so grateful, God, for being able to come together, worship, and just enjoy you. Father, there's so much satisfaction, so much that we get just from being together, Father, from praising you, Father, from hearing your word, from singing. Father, it helps us to know you in such a deep and incredible way. Father, we're grateful for Ramel getting baptized. Pray you continue to encourage him and his walk with you. Father, we do pray for just our new theme for the year. God, just a beginning something brand new, Father, being focused in new ways. Father, we know that you can work through all of those things, Father, to help us to grow, to help us to be greater and greater every day for you, Dad. We love you and pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if we go ahead and throw up the next slide here. We have this is our official kickoff for our theme. Our theme, you, not me. We've heard it a few times, but now it's official. All right, I think this is going to be a great theme for us. This is not only what we're going to look at on Sundays, but also in our small groups to really help us to focus and see how we can give more and more of our lives focused and given to God rather than on ourselves. And the self, and kind of doing what we would normally be doing. But, we're going to be doing all kinds of things. It's going to be an exciting time to really, to focus on God. We're going to be breaking that down in different ways throughout the whole year, talking about prayer, talking about share, care, and prepare. And if you didn't catch that, don't worry about it. You'll probably hear it a ton more times. But actually, what that does mean is we're going to start off talking about prayer. And, what better way to start off you, not me, we're talking about God, than in prayer. With a focus on prayer. After all, isn't that what prayer should all be about? Not us, but God. And I think, actually the lesson today is going to be talking a lot about that. Because I think we probably don't even realize how often we mix ourselves into prayer. And the focus gets so out of whack. Sometimes when we try to pray, we wonder why our prayer life can go stale. We wonder why it's so hard to pray. But my title today is The Secret Life of Prayer. And we'll be based on, Matthew chapter 6. But there is, when you start to get into chapter 6, it's interesting. This is the Sermon on the Mount, very, popular passage of Jesus' big sermon at the beginning of Matthew. And hits on all kinds of different things. But what he, in chapter 5, there's a bit of a contrast from chapter 5 to 6. And Jesus is, you know, Jesus moves from chapter 5 where he says to those disciples, you know, that the disciples that he had just before this sermon had called out of the world, right? Called to himself to be his disciples, to follow him. And he called them to follow him. And he says, you know, you are the light of the world. That's pretty awesome. you know, he goes through all these different things, but then, you know, these different ways of how they, what they're going to be called to. But then he says, you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world in chapter 5, verse 14. And then he goes through, you know, some different things. Goes on to tell them how to actually follow many of God's commands. But, you know, in all these ways, there's kind of that backdrop of, man, they're the light of the world as they follow these commands, they live this life. However, in verse chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So how can this be? You know, here we go. Jesus is talking about being the light of the world. And here, don't do your righteousness deeds in front of other people. You know, otherwise you won't have that reward. You know, the visibility, you know, to answer how can this be, this to seemingly contrast, is that the visibility of our discipleship should be hidden, not from others, but from ourselves. You know, as we go through it living like Jesus, it's not about let me figure out what I need to do. You know, let me figure out the right thing to do. Let me figure out, let me always be thinking about how I'm presenting myself. You know, like Jesus tells, you know, continues to go on. Don't let, even as he tells them, don't do your deeds out in front of others. You know, he goes on to say about giving. He says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So it is. It's all about this invisibility to ourselves. We are to focus on Jesus and follow after him. You know, we are meant to have that sole focus in our lives that, yeah, as we are lights, we don't really necessarily analyze ourselves as lights. Am I being a light today? Was I a light yesterday? Am I a light tomorrow? No, it's a focus on Jesus. Your light's shining whether you know it or not if you're focused on Jesus. If you're in a disciple type relationship with Jesus, then that light is on. And you are shining, yet you are probably unaware of it because you're going through your life as a disciple, loving God, loving Jesus, following him, you know, doing the best you can, reaching out, doing all these things, probably after a while without even thinking. Yeah, we know there's so many reminders. We know we don't get as the church did, and so many of, we see all the letters and different things Paul writes. We know there's so many reminders. We know we don't get it perfect. But I think it is such an interesting thing that we can have these two things going on at the same time. The manifestation of our discipleship of him will become evident and a light to the world. But not if we're not focused on Jesus. Not if we're focused on, again, presenting our deeds before others. You know, we do have to be thinking of, you know, what kind of righteous, or we don't have to be thinking about what kind of righteous deeds do I have to do to shine today? You know, as we gather up maybe a quiet time or we start to think about our day, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, am I gonna shine today for God? That's the wrong focus. So as we even begin to look at prayer, we see how much of what Jesus teaches here, even in verse 1, he goes on to tell how it applies to our giving, but how, you know, it applies to our prayer life as well. In Matthew 6, verse 5, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I'm actually going to stop right there. Obviously, and then he tells them more of the what do you need to pray? And Jesus goes into that. We're actually going to save that for next Sunday. Break this into two different lessons. I think it's because it's such an important passage for us. You know, when there's this quote I came across in one of these books on prayer that I was reading, and it says, you know, if we can pull that up, there we go. Oh, next slide. who one believes God to be is most accurately revealed, not in any credo, but in the way one speaks to God when no one is listening. I mean, how true is that? You know, it's not any a credo, just the idea of like not any creed, not any set of beliefs that you can sit down and say, yes, okay, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this about God, I believe this about God. It's when you no one's around, no one's listening, you're praying in your room. That's who you believe God to be. You know, and so that's why a disciple's life is full of hidden prayer. That's what it's got to be. Whether you're a disciple today or not, you got to realize and think about what you really need to know is a disciple's life is full of hidden prayer. It's not about going out there and doing all these different things and looking a certain way. That happens naturally because a disciple's life is full of hidden prayer. Manifestation, you know, comes out of all that we do in the room, Jesus says. And if we don't do this, you know, then what happens? You know, if we don't realize this, then and know this, that our prayer becomes very surfacey. You know, it just becomes one of those things we know. Respond out the door. Let me do it before I eat. Let me do it this way. I'm supposed to pray. Okay, you know, when am I going to do that? Let me do it as I run out the door. Let me do it before I eat. Let me do it this way or that way. You know, if somebody asks me, yeah, I'll tell them I pray today. When maybe we haven't spent any time really in the room, as Jesus talks about. You know, Jesus tells his disciples, you know, first how to pray. In some ways, he tells them how not to pray here, right? He goes through all these different things of you know, don't pray this way, or your reward is already, you've already got your reward. Because we start thinking about how we look and how we come across and, you know, will we get praise from this thing or that thing? And Jesus says, that is your reward then. That's going to be it. You know, but that's not the reward we want. You know, reward's a funny thing. We got to feel like I don't want a reward, but we do. We want heaven. You know, as Mel was talking about, as you shared before his baptism, man, I want heaven. You know, I want to see God. That's so awesome. We keep that. We keep that fervor in our hearts. So the Jews, you know, Jesus talks about how, you know, it's not all about these ways of prayer. You know, prayer in the synagogues, on the street corners, all loud, and, you know, so to be seen by others. And he says this might seem a little bit odd to us. We don't see this too often, but the Jews had set times of prayer. And so it would be easy for, you know, a holy person, you know, of sorts, to find themselves at a synagogue or maybe a busy street corner. You know, it's like, oh, what do you know? Or I guess they wouldn't look at their watch. They wouldn't have those. But, you know, what do you know? Hey, it's about 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh, it's time for prayer. You know, and so there you go. You know, start praying these magnificent prayers out in public when they were on the street corners or in the synagogues. And so, you know, Jesus talks about that. If you look for that kind of recognition, then you've already got your reward. You know, today, you know, I don't think we might not think so much about, you know, our prayer, you know, being as a performance for others. It's not necessarily our culture all that much, as probably it was for originally for the Jews. You know, so our prayers, you would think, oh, I don't like praying in public. I don't like praying out in front of others. But I think, you know, but we do got to think about it in some ways. Prayer can still be a performance for you, whether you like praying out in public or you never pray in public. It could still be a performance. You know, I do see it, you know, even as we're young, right? As we have our kids, I notice this so much with them. You know, they love learning to pray, but, you know, they have really very little concept of who they're praying to and, you know, like that they're actually praying. And they probably have a very simplistic, probably one that we need, but, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times their prayer becomes about performance very easily. You know, Sawyer, my son Sawyer, one time he heard Ruby pray this. We were sitting at the, you know, we're about to eat and he's going to pray. And, you know, we're trying to teach him to pray certain things. And, you know, the kids have been praying for mommy to get better, you know, and it's, you know, and as my wife has been sick and from the car accident recovering, you know, Sawyer heard Ruby say, help mommy. Or he heard Ruby try to say, help mommy feel better. But, you know, the way Ruby talks, he heard, help mommy's butter. So for the last, I don't know how many weeks, I've been trying to get my son to stop praying every time at the table, thank you for mommy's butter. Thank you for daddy's butter. Thank you for Ruby's butter. Thank you for granny's butter. Thank you for, I'm like, come on. And so sorry, he goes on these long prayers, you know, all these different, I don't know why he won't let that go, but you know, all these things about butter and all these different people. And he goes so long. I know he's hungry, but he just keeps going. Where I'm hungry, he keeps going. And at the end, he goes, that was a long prayer, right? And I mean, of course there's some innocence in all of that. And, you know, I'm like, you know, we're trying to just sort of, you know, teach him how to pray. Okay, hey, you want to talk to God about stuff that really, you know, matters? You really want to ask God about? Man, it's so interesting that these long prayers, and even, you know, this recognition that that sometimes we don't really think about having. But you know, maybe our performance, it isn't as much for others like that. But I think a lot of times maybe it's for ourselves. You know, we analyze our prayer life in such a way as it can be detrimental. We ought not practice our righteousness even in front of ourselves. As it says, like your right hand not know what your left hand not know what your right hand is doing. So in the same kind of sense, if we're praying and kind of thinking, wow, was that a good prayer? How was that? Ah, that was pretty good there. Yeah. I'm spiritual today. I'm having a pretty good, that was a long prayer, right? So, you know, I'm keeping going today. You know, that was great. Or we can, you know, obviously it could be the other way around. You know, we're critiquing, kind of feeling like, man, that wasn't good. I had all these things I wanted to pray about. I ran out of time and I just got focused on this thing. Or else, you know, we can kind of start critiquing our prayers, like some kind of thing to test, to kind of analyze it. But our prayers, just like what Jesus was saying before, about our righteous deeds, our prayers, our righteous deeds, but they're supposed to be focused on God. You know, our focus on being with God, and our prayers about and God is meant to be the focus. So as we pray, are you focused on God? You know, I think about that. I don't always think. You know, I do. I realize how much I think about something easy for me. I'm very much in my head a lot. About, you know, when I was dating my wife. And, you know, it was easy for me. I'm very much in my head a lot. So, you know, when I was first dating my wife, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, that first impression. Or, you know, when that first started kind of talking to each other, getting to know each other. Oh, my goodness. It was, even those first couple of phone calls, oh, my goodness, how painful was that? You know, because I was just sucking off the phone. I was like, oh, my gosh, why did I say that? Or, oh, I should have said this. Or, oh, I look like such an idiot. Why did I, you know, and it's just all this kind of like analyzing it. And you know, but it's interesting, though, you know, because think about that. When things got really good, right, in our relationship, we started really building such a great friendship and dating and all these different things. And things weren't really good when I felt like, man, I'm constantly making a good impression here. I'm doing all right with her. You know, she probably likes me a lot, you know. No, it wasn't when I was constantly making a good impression, but it was when I didn't think about it anymore. When I stopped thinking about the impression I was making, or you know, how this sounded or how that sounded, and I just got to be close to her, right? I just got to talk, and I just got to, you know, have that great conversation. I wasn't analyzing, I wasn't thinking so much about it. I wasn't worried about making a good impression. And I believe that is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about going to your room for prayer. As if he's talking very literally, we would already be breaking that a bunch of times today because we've been praying, right, in public. But that's obviously not what he's doing. Jesus prayed in public. His disciples prayed in public. But it's about the focus of our prayers. You know, and so we've got to see that. And I think it's been so hard. And even for us, it's been challenging. You know, Kat and I, we've had some great ideals about, you know, everything happening, you know, great things happening and praying for all these people and all this regionalization and maybe think, oh, man, it's all these things I want to pray about and thinking about how I should be praying for all these different things. But man, but there's some, we're in some challenging situations. And Kat has been, I don't know why, you know, God has had us here, but she's been, you know, out of it, disabled really for about 7 months. You know, unable to do the things. I mean, I feel it even more for her because I know she wants to be here. She wants to be with you guys. She wants to be praying for you guys. And, you know, and a lot of times, I, you know, you think about it, it's so hard. You know, I get the opportunity to pray and I can think about it. It's like, oh man, I gotta pray for all these things. And I get to God. I'm like, all right, finally I can, you know, the cat's not feeling well or this is happening. So I finally get the kids doing something. I can pray. And then it's like, I'm just like emotionally throwing up, you know, on God. And that's just, it's hard because I'm like, I can't pray for the things that in my mind, I think I need to pray about. And sometimes, again, that analyzing comes in my heart. And I feel like I need to do that. But then as I started thinking about it, even studying this, I'm thinking, man. But you know what that is? That's a God in the room kind of prayer. You know, and I'm like, and it's good. So, okay, yeah. Okay, I didn't get to pray through everything on my list right now. But I need to be close to God. You know, I need to have this kind of, it's not about running through the items. You know, and sometimes we can feel that way. And, you know, I start analyzing so much about what I must pray for. It's funny. I see that the more I do that, I think the less I actually end up praying. You know, we do that, right? It's like you start analyzing. You start thinking about the prayer or this or that. Okay, am I going to do this right? When is it going to? Okay. And we just forget to actually pray. But I think what Jesus is saying, I mean, stop thinking about all the outside influences. Stop thinking about the many words or the, you know, how you, you know, your performance or how you seem, and focus on God. The disciples of Jesus, focus on him. Pray from your heart. Pray what you need to pray. Hopefully you get through things and you're able to be in a different place. And then pray for everything you want to pray for. And I'm not saying it's bad to make lists. You know, sometimes that's going to be really helpful. But I think there is a place, I think Jesus is warning against babbling on with many words. When God already knows what we need, I think this is the next part of this, the end of this part of this passage. You know, that it's pretty striking. You know, don't be like these, you know, the pagans who babble many words, thinking they're going to be heard. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. And so, you know, I think we can go on. You don't need to talk God into things, which is kind of a hard thing. We think, oh, I know that, you know. But sometimes we make the lists, right? It's like a grocery list. Every day, it's like, oh yeah, let me pray for this, let me pray that. And this, what happens the next day? Well, the next day I pray the exact same thing I prayed the day before. And I pray the exact same thing I prayed before. And some things do need to be repeated. But I think sometimes we think, maybe, was God not hear you? Are you just continuing to do that because it's just what you do? I think it can become very impersonal. And we don't actually, God does know all the needs. So why do we, if he knows every needs, why do we pray? That's one of those really big questions. I think it's probably in every prayer book that says, okay, well, here, we got to answer this question. Because man, it's a good question. God knows everything. But Jesus wants his disciples here. I mean, again, this is his instruction to his disciples. People that he's trying to call out of the world to really follow him, you know. And so, you know, God needs to know, Jesus wants his disciples to connect with what they are praying. And yes, God knows what we need, and he doesn't need us to ask him. But I think it's all about our level of involvement. You know, we could pray through the list and be completely disconnected. No involvement on the needs. Because God wants to, God wants to see this as a partnership. God wants us, we are with God in these needs. He may know them all, but we got to go through these long lists. Again, we might go through all these lists and not even connect with anything. You know, if we don't go through our whole list in one sitting because we're really connected, with something that we are praying for, that's okay. Does that bother you, though? If you don't get through your list, are you like, oh, I didn't get through my list? I think it is. I think it's a good question to ask. Are we connecting with what we're praying through? Has it become just words for you and your prayers? Because, again, God knows the needs. He wants you to connect deeply and be there with him in these needs. So, you know, we got to, hey, man, you know, I had 10 things on my prayer list, but on number two, I just got stuck on that one. Amen. Pray through those things. And I think it's kind of a relief that also, not just the instruction, but man, God does know all the needs. If you don't get to all of them, it's okay. I mean, we try. I mean, we want to. I mean, I want to pray for my everybody here. You know, I want to pray for my whole region. I think we do need to work towards doing some of those things. But God doesn't, we got to be careful how we do it. God doesn't work through our, he works through our asking, but not through our babbling. You know, so what do we need to do? I think we do need to go to God in the closet. We need to think about who are we praying to? Why are we praying? You know, as we get here and this time of communion, you know, we see what Jesus was drawing out those that would follow him. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and it's really only through Jesus. You know, these verses only apply because it's only through Jesus, the mediator, that we can pray this way. You know, this is only true in Christian prayer. You know, there's lots of different kinds of prayer out there. You know, and again, a lot of those things are represented in many words, babbling on and on, having that kind of, mindset of getting God's attention, or, man, if I say this enough, maybe it'll sink in, or maybe just be good for, maybe it's more of a self-help kind of idea. If I just keep saying it, I don't really believe God's going to do it, but I'll just kind of get myself into it. But no, it's to pray this way, to pray with our Father in heaven. This is only true in Christian prayer, when Jesus has been the one to mediate between us and God. You know, if you think you can pray this way without believing, loving, and following Jesus, then you're in error. You know, you can't just, you can pray, but you're not going to be praying the way that God wants you to pray, the way Jesus is instructing us how to pray here, without a loving disciple type relationship with Jesus. Now, Jesus allows us to have such closeness in prayer because he, again, bridges that gap. He forgives us all of our sins, wipes it all away, makes us close. You know, it gets rid of everything that separates us, all the sin. He allows us to be close, you know, and as close as you sitting in your room with God. That's how close. We're supposed to look at prayer and see it that way. God is not distant. He's right there, like a loving father, knowing your every need. So we can't treat, even as we pray, you know, I think there's so many things we do, and amen, I'm not totally bashing it here, but, you know, because I do it myself. You know, we can treat in Jesus' name, I pray, right? How many of us say that? In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. It's like, sometimes I try not to say it, but I can't stop myself. Because you can actually pray a prayer in Jesus' name and leave that out. You know, it's being a disciple. Again, it's being a disciple of Jesus that allows us to pray in his name. You know, it's a lot to address God as Father. It's because Jesus is our mediator. You know, we can just pray Abba, Father, because the Spirit of God that disciples receive, just as we're mothered today, that Spirit brings about our adoption as sons and daughters through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Let's think about that as we even take communion, even as we have a moment to pray now, that we think about, and I'm able to come to God because of this sacrifice. I'm able to come to God and say, Abba, Father, because of the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. If you're not a disciple today, think about there's a distance. Jesus does close the gap. He allows you to pray this way that he's talking about here. And amen. Get some. Pray for, help you. Pray for that. Pray for that connection. Pray for, you know, God to help you to understand and ask somebody to help you to get there. And then let's go ahead and go to God in a word of prayer as we take communion. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, that we can come to you. God, that we can reach out, Father, and just as you're in the room right here with us, Father, that you can be our object. That we go to, and God, that's nothing else needs to be in our be in our minds, be in our way, Father. With everything that we have going on, God, we can bring to you. Father, we can be ourselves. God, we can ask you things. Father, we can praise you because honestly, Father, as we praise you, Father, we understand who you really are and what you can really do. Father, I thank you so much for the sacrifice that took and that you were willing to make for us. And we love you and pray this in all in Jesus' name. Amen.